And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another special edition episode of The Assembly Call. As this week, we've got a special treat. It's an interview with Rob Phinisee, an opportunity that obviously came about because of the new NIL rules, and that I certainly wanted to jump on as someone who has been firmly in Rob's corner this offseason, as I am wont to do with senior guards. But hey, you give me 3 years of hard work and dedication and doing all the right things off the court, and I will have your back as a senior. But I also think there's some legitimate reasons to really think that Rob could blossom, under a new coach and a new system on a new roster, being able to play a little bit of a different role. And so, I get into that with him. We talk about that, what it's like being coached by Mike Woodson, what things are like with the new guys on the roster. And then we relive, some of his best moments as a Hoosier. So many big shots, so many big moments that have helped Indiana win big games. But then also, some of the lulls that he's had in production and all that. And so we talk about, what's kind of caused that and maybe why things can be different this year, among many topics. So a wide-ranging conversation. I really, really enjoyed the opportunity to talk to Rob. And if you like this conversation and if you like interviews with players, stay tuned because we're going to have some more. We'll be announcing something here pretty soon that I think you will all be quite interested in. But the last thing that I want to say before I play the interview is if you're going to be in Bloomington this weekend, go to Switchyard and hang out with our friends from Crimson Cast, because they are doing a live watch party for the Indiana Western Kentucky football game, which is obviously a huge game for Indiana after dropping the two games early in the season to Iowa and Cincinnati. They really need to pick this one up. And so Galen will be there. They're doing a live podcast before the game. They're doing a live podcast after the game. They're going to try and do something at halftime. So they're going to get started about 7:30. Game kicks off at 8 o'clock. But if you're in Bloomington, you don't have anything else to do, or even if you do have something else to do, blow it off and go hang out with Galen and the fine folks at Switchyard. I think it'll be a lot of fun. If I was going to be in Bloomington, I would certainly be there. And so we think that you guys should go too. But anyway, with all that said, let's get to the interview. Really enjoyed my time talking with Rob Phinisee. I think you'll get a lot of insight into what his career at Indiana has been like so far, what it was like playing with Romeo, what his relationships are like with the guys who he came in with. And I think especially at the end, kind of some advice that he would give to new players and some of the things that he's learned, during his 3 years, now that he's a vet. Can you believe Rob Phinisee is about to enter his senior season? But some of the things that he's learned that kind of surprised him, or that he didn't expect when he was a freshman. So a lot of good stuff here. I think you'll come away from this, cheering for Rob more than you already do. At least that's certainly my hope. So anyway, give it a listen. Here is my discussion with Rob Phinisee. Okay, well, we have a special treat this week, as today I am joined by one of the players that we have spent the most time talking about over the last three seasons. He hails from Lafayette, Indiana, where he had a standout career at McCutchen High School, earning Area Player of the Year honors as a sophomore, a junior, and a senior, and making it all the way to the Class 4A state title game. And my old high school basketball coach at West Lafayette, Dave Wood, who coached against him all those seasons, told me that he's the best player to come out of the area in the 25 years that he's been coaching there. He then came to Indiana in 2018 alongside Romeo Langford as part of Archie Miller's highly ranked first recruiting class. And like Romeo, he started from day one. And over the years, he's earned the nickname Big Shot Rob because of his penchant for coming up big in big moments. And he's also developed a reputation as being one of the best on-ball defenders in the Big Ten. But injuries and inconsistency, coupled with the instability of a program that required a coaching change in the offseason, have left many IU fans and observers feeling like he hasn't really shown us everything that he can be yet. Could that change in a senior season with a new coach and a new system with a remade roster? Well, those of us who are claiming membership in the Rob Phinisee fan club, as I am, certainly think so. And I'm very excited to be joined by Rob here today on the Assembly Call. Rob, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Has it sunk in yet that your senior season is approaching?
Not really, honestly. I mean, you hear it every time growing up how the older you get as the time goes, but it's really true. So, I mean, I'm just excited and just ready to get after.
Yeah. What is this time like? Because we're recording this on September 22nd. You know, Hoosier Hysteria is October 2nd. So practice hasn't officially started. Is this kind of like the calm before the storm for you? Because now you've kind of been around the block. You know what to expect. You know, kind of like the last few weeks before things get crazy.
Yeah, I think practice starts, I think, within the next 10 days. So right now we're just having little workouts. And then, you know, like once the practice starts, it gets pretty hectic. We don't have that much time.
Yeah. Now, have you thought about what you're doing after the season? I mean, I know that's a long way in the future, but obviously things are a little different now because you've got that extra COVID year. Have you thought about that at all? Or is that something you're just going to wait and think about once you get done with the season?
Yeah, it's really depends on how this last year goes. I haven't really thought about it too much, but obviously I know I'll talk it over with my family and the coaching staff to see what's best for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a unique situation, you know, that no one else has really had to deal with. Nice to have the option though. You know, but like you said, I mean, it'll be interesting, obviously, with a new staff. What have been kind of your first impressions of, you know, you kind of had 3 years under one staff with one kind of atmosphere and environment? What are kind of the early returns for you on how things are different with this new staff and the new roster?
I would just say the energy in the building and practices and really just the facility. Just having new guys with X, Miller, Big Mike, even the freshman coming in, and then Coach Kenya's back. He's pretty much the only coach last year who's back, and then Coach Yacht, Coach Fife, and obviously Coach Woodson. But it's really just a new vibe in the building. Everything's new. I feel like pretty much everyone has to start from day one, just because it's a new staff, and really everybody's really just building confidence with each other, vibing on and off the court. So it's really just new energy. I would say that's the biggest thing that's different.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of awareness of Coach Woodson and Coach Fife's history at IU before they got there as coaches?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I wouldn't say a lot, but I mean, obviously as they got here, you see things online and you hear more and more about just the stories they tell you about things they've done at IU.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool, man. So I want to have a little fun with this discussion. And, you know, our listeners, you know, who probably heard the interview that I did with Devontae Green back in the day, we kind of did something fun where we took some clips of Devontae's great moments and played those and kind of had him react to them. And so I want to do that with you. And so I pulled some clips. I'm going to play them. You know, I'll play it. You see if you can guess what the game is. Some of them will be obvious because the announcers will say it. But you know, let's play these, relive some of these moments, then use that as some different discussion points for your time at IU. Does that work for you?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, so here's the first one. Tell me if you remember what game this is from.
Definitely not the game that either them or their fans were probably expecting. Is Finnessy dials that one up from a different area code and knocks it down. 57-12 now. Active hands. Take away. Finnessy, other end. Another dunk. Has there been anything tonight that he has not? Well, getting some assists from the teammates. Steal. Rebounds. Drives down the lane. Left hand. Scoop shot. Got it again.
All right, so there's no real identifying information from that game other than the score, which he mentioned in the middle. And the score he mentioned was 57-12 for anybody who didn't catch that. Do you remember what game that's from?
Yeah, I thought it was, at first I thought it was going to be like a college highlight, but yeah, that's from senior year. Is that when I scored 50?
That is against Harrison. Yeah. Against Harrison. And as a West Lafayette grad, I'm always up for celebrating anybody kicking the pants off of Harrison. So it was fun watching that highlight. We'll get to the college highlights, don't worry. But I thought that was a really good one. What do you think about when you reflect back on that game?
So I remember I had to, I needed 15 points to break the all time scoring record at the school. And I remember I hit end of the first quarter, I hit a three to get 15 points. And then, I mean, after that, I was just on fire. So, I mean, the basket really felt like it was super big. So I don't think I missed that many shots that game. And then I remember I got subbed out with like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and we were up. I don't know. I have more points than their team, though. That's what I remember.
How many could you have scored if Coach Peckinpah? Oh, that wasn't Peckinpah, right? That was the other coach who replaced him.
Yeah. But I would say 60. But so I think the school record was like 56 by Coach Peckinpah's son. But I didn't end up getting it, but I mean, I feel like I could score 60 that game.
Now, see, it was a conspiracy to keep a Peckinpah atop the list of the single game scoring. Your high school career was interesting because you made the state title game, I think, as a sophomore, right? When you guys went up against Romeo in the title game. And, you know, you obviously scored a lot throughout your career, but a little bit more of a facilitator those first couple years, and then your scoring just took off as a senior.
Yeah.
What kind of talk me through that? You know, what was the mindset shift that you made, as a senior, and why did that occur?
Really, honestly, I feel like I adjusted to my teammates well. Going into my senior year, we lost probably about, 60 to 70% of our scoring. So I knew my senior year I had to score a lot more and just do more because, growing up, I had two or three guys who were always older than me that really pretty much helped me be the player I am today. I played with my older brother, and then some of my older friends I always grew up playing with. So they pretty much helped me growing up, just being able to lead. So my senior year, I knew I had to step it up a little bit.
You know, and obviously, as everybody knows, and as I mentioned in the intro, you know, you're from Lafayette, right in Purdue's backyard, and you made the decision to come to Indiana. What ultimately led to that decision? I mean, I know what made my decision to go from Lafayette to Indiana, but I grew up in Bloomington. What was it for you that did it?
My biggest thing was I really didn't want to stay home. I saw the campus growing up. My older brother was there 2 years before I was, and then my mom went there. My little brother goes there now. So I feel like I just need a new scene, just to pretty much meet new people and just get a new fresh start, really.
Yeah. When you made that decision, did you worry at all about blowback, like from the local fans or from Purdue fans? And how was the reality of that matched what you thought it might be?
Honestly, not really. Obviously, I knew the people who really loved me and actually supported me, they really didn't care what decision I made. So I wasn't really worried about that. And to be honest, I honestly haven't got as much blowback as I thought I would just from being at IU. So every time I go home, it's always all love and people there always support me.
Yeah. Does that game mean more to you because you're from Lafayette, do you think? Like when Indiana plays Purdue?
For sure. You definitely feel it. You feel the rivalry and everything. But growing up, even though my parents and everybody went to Purdue, I was never like a Purdue fan. So it obviously does mean them a lot more. Just, I feel like it's kind of like the McCutcheon-Harrison thing I had in high school. There's always gonna be a rivalry behind it. And that game's always bigger than every other game on the schedule.
So what do we have to do this year to get your first victory over those guys? Because I know you're more sick of it than I am, and we're all sick of losing to those guys. What do we have to do this year to change that?
Obviously, they have the two big guys inside, Travion and Big Edie. But I would say just play harder than they do. That's what they pretty much pride themselves on. And I feel like this year it's going to be a lot different. I feel like people aren't going to know what to do with this because the way our offense is, we're a lot more spread out. Guys are able to play their games, but I feel like the big thing is it's a mentality thing versus them, and really just play harder than they do.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go on now to our next game, and this game is from your college career. Let's see if you can recognize which one this is.
I know you and many others have their eyes on the two freshmen in Tennessee and Langford as he finishes strong. What a silky smooth game he had.
Where the defense could get set. That allowed Durham to just easily have that three-point shot.
Joey Hauser turns it over. Fantasy away from the package. Durham with the layup. Durham comes away with it on the push. Got Langford on the wing. Fantasy finds Fitzner for three. Yes! What a start for the Hoosiers.
All right, you know what that one was?
Yeah, Marquette game, my freshman year.
That was the Marquette game, which... Yeah. Just an unbelievable game. The third game of your career, really, the first game against a good team because you guys played a couple cupcakes ahead of that. You had 12 points, 8 assists, 4-for-4 on 2-point field goals. And obviously, you guys just took that game over with the defense early on. And it's interesting. It was interesting going back through your moments in your career because I think you could make the argument that that moment, that game was the peak of the Archie Miller era at Indiana. Because it really seemed like everything was possible on that night. Romeo was so good. You were so good. You know, you guys were shooting it. You're playing defense. Take us back to that night. What did it feel like to experience that in just your third game at Indiana?
It was crazy. I just remember being super nervous because I was at the guard Marcus Howard that night. So, I mean, going in, I didn't really know what to expect. But I just remember it being super electric in there. I know we started off, I think we might have been up 20 at a point in the first half. So, yeah, just the energy in there. I always remember that game. And I remember playing really well. And like you said, we were rolling during that time, I remember.
What was the feeling like in the locker room after that game? I mean, because again, as fans, it felt like everything is possible. Man, this team, the sky's the limit. The Archie Miller era is rolling. Like, what was your guys' feeling after a game like that?
Same feeling. I mean, the energy was great. Everybody played pretty well, and really, we were just pretty much on to the next. And like at that moment, Archie's second year, so we were really thinking about to get, I mean, IU basketball back on track after that. So I think we were ranked probably 2 or 3 weeks after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so let's go on now to the next game and see if you can identify which one this is.
Look at the three. Finissi finally buries one. And Finissi all the way to the hole. He misses. Tip no good. Jones comes away with it. 2 seconds on the shot clock. We're going to have a foul here. We are going to have a foul called against Indiana and Deron Davis.
That foul call still pisses me off.
You can make that call.
All right, so that one's pretty obvious, right? Which game is that?
Yeah, Arkansas at Arkansas.
Yeah. The very next game, if I recall correctly, right after the Marquette game, right?
I'm pretty sure. Or the game after, one of the two.
Yeah. So the first play, it was 72-69. You bury the three with 46 seconds to go, and that kind of came on the heels of Romeo hitting a couple of big shots. And then with a tied 72-72, you drove in, had a great look. It just kind of fell off the front of the rim, and Deron was so close to tipping it in, and they called that bogus foul on him. You know, and that game was so interesting because, you know, Juwan had gotten into early foul trouble. Romeo really had to carry a huge scoring load, you know, on the road in just his fourth game. And he had to do that a lot his freshman year, you know, and I think he came in with such high expectations, it was probably impossible for him to meet them. And I think sometimes the things that he actually did do can be a little bit underrated because of those expectations. What was it like playing with him his freshman season?
It was crazy. I mean, just seeing how good he was in preseason, how like him coming in, you couldn't tell he's a freshman because he was scoring and doing pretty much everything he did in high school. But I mean, it was really great. Even being his friend, I mean, I just talked to him like a week ago, so we're still super close and everything. But just him, even off the court, seeing how people react to him just when we're going to class or just doing other things off the court. But I mean, it's really fun playing with him.
How's he doing? You said you talked to him. I mean, obviously his pro career hasn't gone exactly how he's wanted to just because of injuries and circumstance. Is he pretty upbeat about, you know, what the future holds for him?
Yeah, he really likes it and everything. And I mean, he said everybody like in the locker room is cool, and he likes the team and everything. So he said he's really excited for this next season. I know that playoff experience really helped him, and it's going to lead him to the next season.
Yeah. What was it like for that team? I think a lot of things have been kind of said and written, you know, I think I have one more moment from that season. Yeah, I got one more moment from that season. You know, like we said, everything kind of seemed possible in the Marquette game, and that season kind of went off the rails a little bit as it kind of went into it. Like, what do you think went wrong that year? I mean, besides the injuries, because you guys faced a lot of injuries, and maybe that's the biggest thing. But, you know, as you kind of look back on that season, why did it peak against Marquette, and why weren't you guys able to keep those good times rolling, do you think?
Like you said, I feel like the injuries that played a part too. But I feel like once we went on that, what was it, 12 out of 13 games, that losing streak, it's crazy. But I don't know, just the energy in the building was down. Everybody, I feel like, was just looking for an answer. And I, like, each game, everyone was like, we just need one game to turn it around. And I feel like that just compiled up and just kept building up. And then somehow, surprisingly, we got Michigan State. I think 11 games in. It's crazy.
Man, it is the oddest stretch of Indiana basketball ever to lose 12 out of 13, and the one win is at top five Michigan State. I mean, it was almost more frustrating that that's the win, because it's like, this is what these guys can do, you know? Like, we all saw it.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, why Why do you think it was so hard to find those answers? Like, as you look back on it, you know, and is that something where it was an internal leadership thing? Is that something where it's like, you know, man, I wish the coaching staff had better answers for us? Like, you know, why do you think you get into a rut like that and you just can't find a way to pull yourselves out of it?
I mean, just being, like I said, being my senior year, I feel like it kind of was a internal thing with the leadership. I feel like the players, we probably should have stepped up a little bit more and probably not looked towards the coaches because I feel like the best teams are player-led. So
yeah.
I feel like a little bit of leadership thing.
Is that odd? Let me rephrase it. What's it like as a freshman? You know, where, you know, obviously you guys are coming in with so much notoriety, you know, you're playing from day one and you've got some veterans on the team. What's it like kind of navigating that? I mean, is that something where you can step up if you want to, or there's kind of a hierarchy? And would you have done anything differently in hindsight in that season?
I mean, obviously, yeah. I mean, even though, I mean, I can't go back and change the past, I feel like it helps me shape me into the person I am right now. But, I would say going as a freshman, you kind of don't want to really step on anybody's toes, anything, because you don't really know the guys that well. So you're like 5 or 6 months in meeting them with everything. But I feel like, yeah, being the point guard, I should honestly stepped up and I feel like brought guys more together and locked in a little bit more.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back to another moment from that season. And I think you're going to know what the next moment is. Pretty obvious.
Takes it left, gives it up to Devontae Green, down to five. Devontae looking for Romeo, right, finally throws it to Rob Finney for a long bomb. Oh! It went in! And Indiana wins the ball game as Rob Finney hits about a 30-foot shot. They're going to check the monitor to see whether or not
Time had run out.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. I think everybody knows which one that is. The game winner against Butler. Take me back to that play in that moment. What do you remember about it?
Obviously, the play wasn't designed for me. It was supposed to be for Romeo. We ran that play like 3 or 4 times before. But, I mean, I saw Romeo was being denied. I came up and Devontae, like, ball faked like twice to Romeo, and then I got it. I just double clutched and shot it. I mean, I felt it. It was good as soon as it left my hand, but it really did go in slow-mo, like you see on movies a little bit. I felt like the ball was in the air for like 5 seconds. So,
and do you even remember the aftermath, like the celebration? Or is that one of those things that like the ball goes in and it's just a total blur?
Yeah, that was adrenaline rush. I just jumped up as high as I could and flexed. But yeah, I do remember. I remember that everybody was trying to tackle me to the floor, but I didn't want to get to the floor because I'm claustrophobic. So.
Yeah, I know it's always so dangerous. I'm always worried, you know, during those celebrations. It's like, have fun, but let's not get hurt. You know, let's be careful. Yeah. So, you know, that is what 8, 9, 10 games into your freshman season. You know, and now you've made this huge shot against Arkansas down the stretch. You've made this huge shot against Butler, and I mean, your reputation is being cemented as, you know, kind of a, you know, a big shot maker. And there are other moments that we're going to get to here later where you, you know, consistently hit big shots and big moments. Why do you think you've been able to rise to the occasion like that in some of those really big moments and make those shots?
Really, I would say just the work I really put in. I mean, I put in a lot of work and just being able to know I can step up and make the shot when I need to. And really, I would just say it's the work. I feel like even in high school, I made a lot of like buzzer beater shots to end the quarter. So I feel like I've been doing it for a little bit of time.
You know, one thing I've always wondered, you know, because, I mean, look, when you get the ball in a clutch situation, all Indiana fans think it's going in. Like, you've earned that confidence. But obviously, you've struggled as a shooter at other times. You know, and I've always wondered, is there a difference for you kind of mentally or in the moment when it's, you know, kind of a clutch shot or a big moment as opposed to other shots through the games? You know, because you seem to have such a higher percentage in kind of those clutch big moments. Is it, you know, the kind of thing where you're just not thinking about it and you're more instinctive because it's down the stretch? Or like to what do you attribute that?
I would say a little bit. It is a little bit instinctive where it's like, I know I have to shoot it. So it's like, I know it's going up. But I mean, I would say a little bit. It's more instinctive because it's like a shot I know I have to shoot. And I feel like I'm going to make it every time I shoot it.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, look, this is a program that was spoiled with the point guard play of Yogi Ferrell, you know, when he was at Indiana. And then for a couple of years, you know, there was very little point guard play to speak of. And that's one of the reasons everybody was so excited, you know, about, you know, that start to your freshman season. I mean, you were so productive. You were so efficient. You know, and you guys won these big games. You're making big shots. And then you had the injury. You had the concussion. And it kind of felt like you never quite got back in the same rhythm that you were at early on. Is that just kind of a narrative that the talking heads latched onto, or do you feel that that really kind of affected the way that the rest of your freshman season went?
I felt like towards the end of my freshman year, the last three or four games, I feel like I was back to where I was at the beginning. But
yeah,
I played a little bit, just that concussion. Not really. It's my first concussion, so I didn't really like know what to expect or whatnot. So the big thing was, honestly, was like getting my confidence back on the court, because you're thinking too much. Like, you don't want to get hit in your head. You don't want to do certain things. So you don't want to affect your game. But I would say, yeah, towards the end of my freshman year, I feel like I got it back.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember that Illinois game that you just went off on the road at Illinois. You had like 17, 18 points, and you guys dominated them. So it did. It did kind of seem like you know, you kind of got back into that rhythm. You know, that confidence has been a topic this offseason. You know, Dane Fife has come in, and he's a guy that, you know, I think has been pretty out there with some of the issues that he faced with confidence as a player and some of the anxiety issues. And, you know, like I've noticed on your Twitter, you know, you've been sending out a lot of tweets from from Dave Anderson books. You know, talk a little bit about, you know, what it's been like, you know, kind of trying to build and maintain confidence, you know, on a stage like Indiana, because you're a guy who did so many things in high school. You've had so many big moments in college, but it does feel like the confidence has been up and down a little bit. Do you think that's an accurate reflection of reality, and kind of what are some of the things that you're trying to do to, you know, I guess make that more consistent as you go into your senior year?
Oh yeah, I would say it has been a little bit, but I would say within, like you said, offensively, I haven't really been consistent with my numbers or anything, but I feel like sometimes I went out there and thought too much on like certain shots. If I were shot, I would be worried about the sideline or just different things. I feel like I thought too much. I feel like I was a coach looker, where I look over to the coach too much and not play my game that much. But that's a big thing this year with Coach Fife and Coach Woodson. I feel like it's a reset. They pretty much just want me to go out there and play as hard as I can. And it's not, they're worried about anything on offense, and really try to have my defense propel me for offense. So that's a big thing with Coach Fife right now. He says he wants me to be the best defender in the country. So that's his big focus in practice right now.
Do you feel a noticeable difference offensively with kind of this staff and the way that they coach and the system, as opposed to what you were playing in before?
Yeah, for sure. It's more of like a, like I said, like a pro style offense. It's a lot of ball screens, 4-on-1 end. So he wants the guards to create. And then, I mean, the bigs pretty much, they get the offense rolling and everything, but it's more of a 4-on-1 end. The court's a lot more spread to create plays for everybody.
Yeah. Do you know, the recruiting process is always an interesting one, you know, because you're trying to find out what the best fit is, and coaches are trying to find, you know, players who are going to fit, you know, what they do, and they're trying to sell their school and their program. Is the way that you were coached and the system that you ended up running in Indiana, is it for, you know, for the first 3 years of your career, is it different than what you thought it was going to be? You know, and in hindsight, is there, you know, and I want to ask it delicately. I'm not asking you to, you know, to say anything negative about anybody, but I'm just curious if the reality ended up being different from what you expected.
Yeah, I would say a little bit. I feel like we were, like last year, we had 3-game, where it was a guy coming up with a ball screen, and then we had another big down low. And I feel like having that big down low kind of stuffed up the paint a little bit, and I didn't let the guards really create. But yeah, it's a lot different than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Did you feel at times pressure, like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I should be taking this shot? You know, like not necessarily a freedom, you know, like we saw you in that 50-point game against McCutchen, where you're just making moves, you're instinctive. And it's always seemed to me, watching you play, and I've got some clips of, you know, of this coming up, you know, one specifically, you know, from the Iowa game last year, where, you know, pull up, step back three, and you're driving in the lane, and it's like, that guy can be an offensive force. And then it'll feel like other games, you know, maybe you're a little hesitant to do that. Mm-hmm. Was that something where there was pressure to not take certain shots or to do things a certain way, you know, and you didn't necessarily feel the freedom to just play your game?
Yeah, I feel like that. Then again, I feel like I can't just contribute it. I feel like a little bit was a confidence thing too, where if I did miss my first two or three shots, that I wouldn't try to take those shots or be more aggressive into the paint. So that's a little bit of both.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back to another moment. This one will probably be pretty obvious.
Turns, Winston drives, fades to the corner, short, loose, and that's it. Indiana. What a comeback win.
Do you know what moment that was?
Michigan State sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. That's right. When you were guarding Cassius Winston, I was in attendance for that one. I came up for that game. Just an awesome, awesome game. Take me through that moment and what it was like guarding Cassius Winston, who is, I mean, he's one of the best players I've seen play in the Big Ten. He's a terrific player, and you did such a good job guarding him. What was that assignment like?
It was tough. I mean, I feel like I did a good job of limiting him, but I mean, he still somehow finished with like 20, I feel like. But I just remember, I think that two possessions before, actually, I feel like I played better defense on that one. I made him turn the ball over.
Yeah.
It was close to the game. But obviously, we knew he was getting the ball that last play. I think they ran a slide screen where the big slipped out, and he just went. But, I mean, I pressured him. I contested the shot. Contested step back in the quarter, I'm pretty sure. But, I mean, I thought it was good at first when he first shot it. But, I mean, we played good defense the whole game. So, I think we beat them. What was that, three times in a row?
Third time? Yeah. What, I mean, okay, so talk to me about that, because that again, that's one of the strange anomalies of the Archie Miller era is, you know, there were so many struggles, but yet you always seem to play so well against Michigan State. Like, why was that? Was that just a matchup thing? Did you get up more for that game? Like, what caused that, do you think?
I remember the first time we were on that losing streak, he gave the probably one of the best pregame speeches I've ever heard.
Really?
I'm at Michigan State, the President Center. But it's pretty much, I feel like, kind of like a rivalry thing with that. So I remember even before we came in there, when, like they said, Freddie McSwain had like 13 offensive rebounds. So it's kind of like a pride thing, they said, with them. So we always play super hard against them.
So the great pregame speech, was that the overtime win to in the midst of the big losing streak?
Yeah.
Can you give us any snippets of that, or what the vibe of that speech was? Like, was it a great story, or was it just like intensity and throwing chairs? Like, what kind of speech was it?
It was intense, super intense. I mean, you probably have to ask Devontae about that one, but it was super intense. It was crazy.
What talk to me a little bit about Archie Miller as a coach, you know, because I think it's easy, you know, when things don't work out and, you know, a coach gets fired and you're excited about, you know, the new regime, to focus on some of the things that maybe didn't go well. And obviously stuff didn't go well or he would still be the coach. Give me the 360 degree view of what it was like to be coached by Archie. You know, the good, you know, I think you've hinted at a few of the things that maybe frustrated you, but what was that experience like overall?
Honestly, it wasn't a bad experience. Obviously, it would have been a lot better if we would have won, but I would say the big thing with him is he really trusts me. So, I mean, regardless of how I was playing, he always said, always play defense. If you play defense and don't turn the ball over, you pretty much play. So I would say the trust thing. And then honestly, off the court, if you talk to him, he's a really cool guy, even though with the media and everything, I mean, a lot of people don't like the media, but he's actually a really good guy and everything too. So, but yeah, I mean, I had a great time playing for him. I mean, he's a coach you hard. He definitely is going to coach you hard. He's not going to let you dilly-dally in practice, get away with things that I feel like some other coaches would, but he's definitely a good coach.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, you guys always seem to be, you know, a good fit, you know, with your defensive mentality, and he obviously had a defensive mentality, you know, and obviously that play that we just, that clip that we just played was a great defensive moment. Talk to me about that defensive mentality and kind of the pride that you take in your defense. Is that, to you, is that more important than what you do offensively? Do you look at it that way?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, coming in, that's pretty much what he recruited me and told me. But yeah, my defensive mentality, I feel like I need to do a better job with it. Like I said, even being more consistent with it, the way we're playing this year, I can pick up more full court and force guys to speed up their offense and everything. So even with Coach Miller, but I feel like my defensive ability, I haven't really showcased it how I should, even though I have good moments and everything. But I feel like this year you'll see it a lot more than you did in the past 3 years.
Yeah. Do you know, a lot was made obviously of playing in the pack line. You know, do you, how much different is what you guys are doing defensively now from what you were doing before? You mentioned picking up a little bit more full court. That's obviously not something that you did a lot of because the pack line really puts a premium on getting back and getting in position. What are some of the other differences that you think fans will see this year defensively from you guys?
Definitely the ball pressure. We're picking up full court, and then he's allowing us to play the pass lane a little bit more. So I would say the defensive ball pressure is going to be at an all-time high. Just the energy on defense, talking and everything. So everybody's in a tandem. So we'll have great defense this year.
As you look back on the guys that you've guarded, you know, we mentioned Marcus Howard, you know, the third game of your freshman year, one of the best scorers in recent college basketball history. Cassius Winston, you know, one of the best point guards who you can play great defense on. He still gets 20 points and 10 assists because he's just that good. Who, outside, other than those guys, who were the toughest guys that you've had to guard?
Toughest, I would say, is Anthony Cowan, Maryland. Harson Edward. Honestly, I think some of the toughest guys to guard are the mid-major guys who, like, they have freedom to do whatever on offense. So they know it's pretty much 1-4 flat, or they have, like, a high ball screen. But the toughest person I've guarded is Devontae Green.
Really? Devontae Green?
I always say that he's the toughest person I have to guard.
Is that just because he's a total wild card and he'll shoot from anywhere? And, like, why is it Devontae?
He has game. I mean, he has everything. Step backs. He has a handle. I mean, he's super quick. He's athletic. So he's super talented. People don't realize how good he really is.
Yeah. Did you ever see Devontae struggle with confidence or struggle with whether to take a shot or not?
I mean, not really. I mean, obviously, I feel like everyone has their moments, but no, not really.
Yeah. That's funny that you picked him. Did you guys, like, what's it like in practice? Like, do you guys, like, when practice is over, are there, like, mano-a-mano, one-on-one battles, you know, shooting contests, that kind of thing? Like, do you guys get competitive as far as that kind of stuff goes?
Oh, yeah, we have those. We usually have things pre-practice, too, like shooting competitions. But honestly, this year, I feel like we're doing a lot more competition whether it's 3-on-3, 2-on-2, or whatever, but yeah, the competition level is always at all-time high.
You know, Devontae, he's been such a polarizing player, you know, in Indiana history. I mean, obviously a guy who could go off for 28 points and then a guy who could really struggle just to kind of get into the game. And a lot was made kind of his relationship with Archie. And, you know, having gotten to know him, and we did two really long interviews together, you know, I've kind of come to the conclusion, I think he's one of the more kind of misunderstood players that's played at Indiana in a while. Like, give your kind of behind-the-scenes look at Devontae and maybe kind of some of the fan reaction that he got, and whether you thought that was an accurate portrayal of the guy that you saw in the locker room.
Yeah, no, I mean, the fans either loved him or hated him. That's how it seemed. But, no, he's a super cool dude. He's one of, like, the most chill and relaxed guys I've ever met. But him, he's super friendly. He's open. He's, you can talk to him about anything. Just a super cool guy. I think he might be coming to Bloomington soon. But yeah, I feel like everybody, the fans, what they thought of him was definitely not the type of person he is. I mean, he's super down to earth. I mean, if you met, like, East Coast guys, pretty much how relaxed and chill they are. That's pretty much what Devontae is.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny how these narratives start, you know, when things aren't going well. And obviously, it's like your freshman year when you guys are losing 12 out of 13. I mean, there's just ridiculous stories coming out. It's like, what are people even talking about?
And it's last week on social media again. Like, it's crazy how people mess too.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, and I think it's one of those things, you know, when the team's not doing well, you kind of, you try to figure out the narrative, right? And one of the narratives has always been like, okay, is the chemistry good? You know, do these guys like each other? That kind of thing. Like, can you talk a little bit to like what the chemistry has been like, you know, on the teams that you've been on? And do you notice at all a difference with, you know, with this group of players that you guys have now?
I would say, honestly, each year, I feel like it's progressed. Like the team chemistry on and off the court, it's gotten better each year.
Yeah.
But I mean, even though we're losing, I would even say the team chemistry has been bad. Like everybody's super cool off the court. There's no problems. No, like all the rumors you said, none of those are true. People just really, they need something to make a story to seem like a reason why we're losing. But team chemistry, actually, I feel like it's a little higher this year than it's been in the past. But I feel like just with the new coaching staff and when things, I feel like, are more positive on the court, that just helps the overall environment with everything.
So let me play devil's advocate for a second then, because it could be fair to say at times team chemistry could also be too good if everybody's friends and buddy-buddy, but no one holds each other accountable. Like, do you think, and I think you kind of hinted at this, I think, you know, for that first season, you know, where it's almost like, hey, you know, maybe we needed some more internal leadership to step up. Do you think as you've progressed that you've had that? Like, have there been guys inside the locker room who can have frank conversations if someone's not getting the job done and be able to have, you know, tough conversations but still be cool? Like, do you think it's almost been a little bit too close?
No, I wouldn't say it's too close. Like I said before, I feel like the best teams are player-led. So, I mean, even if you're off the court, obviously the leaders have to step up and tell you if you're if you're messing around in practice or just in a workout. So I feel like everyone knows what they have to do, and coach is demanding the most out of you. So you know what we have to do.
Yeah. Hey, one topic I wanted to talk with you about, and I forgot to get to it when we talked about the Butler game, is there was an awesome story that came out after that about Nicholas Aguilera, who wrote you this awesome letter, you know, talked about how great your shot was and how he had made a buzzer beater. And then, of course, at the end, it said, P.S., I'm glad you didn't go to Purdue, which everybody just loved. And if I recall correctly, like, you actually got to meet him and, you know, kind of converse back and forth. What was that like? And what did that kind of show you early on about, you know, what it was going to be like being a player at Indiana and the responsibility that is?
Oh, yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, it was pretty cool just getting that recognition from him. Like, I still kept conversations. I actually have his number, so all last season, I was still texting him and everything. I mean, I gave him a pair of shoes and some gear and everything. But that was pretty cool just to see, how much love you really get from the IU fans. Like, Hoosier Nation is really crazy. Even good or bad, they're going to love you. So, it's still strong to this day. And you can feel the hype going into the season right now. But, yeah, Nicholas, he's pretty cool. I'll invite him to a game this year.
Nice. It's really neat seeing stuff like that develop. You know, and he's kind of at that age because he was, what, 10? Was he 10?
I think he was 11 at the time.
11? Yeah, because, I mean, you know, when I was born in 81. When I was 11 and 12 is, you know, 91, 92, 93, which to this day are my favorite Indiana teams. You know, and Calvert Chaney to me is just like, you know, the god among gods, you know, because I was his age, you know, Nicholas's age, kind of watching Calvert Chaney just like he is watching you. How often do you step back and kind of think about that? And kind of what that responsibility is like. Is that something that you think about and that you take seriously?
Oh, yeah. I feel like when I go home, I actually, like, get back and sit back and, like, reflect on everything. Because, I mean, once you're here, you're working so hard and you're within, like, the schedule of school and everything. But I feel like going back home, you actually get to reset a little bit. You get to see what you pretty much worked for your whole life and everything. So I feel like going back home just really makes me just not take anything for granted and really just see, like, the platform I have to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, really where I can reach out and help people.
You know, and it's so innocent when, you know, the fans are 10, 11, 12. And then, of course, you get these blowhard 40-year-olds with their podcasts that come on and try to analyze the game. And that's a little bit different. How do you try to balance, like, the good and the bad of the fans? Because you're right. Like, Hoosier Nation, there's so much passion. And, man, when things are going good, it's awesome. But there's, you know, the passion can be a double-edged sword. How do you try and manage that and focus on the good and try and keep kind of some of the more negative stuff out?
Like you said, I've seen both the good and the bad, so I know how it feels on both sides. But I say the big thing is just keep your mind on what's important. Really, it's pretty much, I feel like you have to keep a schedule. You have to do things, be consistent with what you do, whether it's going to the gym, just doing things to keep your mind occupied and not focused on what people have to say about you, really. Because at the end of the day, the people that really care about you will tell you the truth if you're messing up or if you're doing good. So just focus on really the things you love. Focus on the people you love. And at the end of the day, I feel like your mind will be good.
What's kind of your social media strategy such that you have one? Like, do you change how you use social media during the season as opposed to the off season?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I get off of it. I'm actually on it a lot less than I have been. I actually have something set on my phone where it limits me a certain amount of hours a day, but.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. In season, I'll be off it completely, but I mean, I try to be on as least as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned, you've been, sending out those tweets with quotes from Dave Anderson and his book. Can you talk to me a little bit about his book and kind of why his work speaks to you and why you like sharing that information?
Really, it's an ideal opportunity I had. He reached out to me about it, but it has helped me. I feel like I finished the book already, and one of my teammates will be the next person to tweet, but I'm not going to say who it is. But really, it's helped me with pretty much my routine with everything, like the mental toughness, like you mentioned at the beginning with Coach Fife and everything. But it's something you can read every day that will help you with everything you do. Just the way you approach things, your morning routine when you get up and have your mind focused on certain things that you want to focus on the day, and really. Things that will help you accomplish your goals so you don't lose focus on what's the goal.
Yeah. And what's it been like kind of developing your relationship with Coach Fife? Talked earlier about how he's, kind of dealt with some of those confidence issues. Like, do you feel like having him as a resource is going to be, something that'll kind of help you as you go through the season?
Yeah, that's his big thing with me right now is just honestly developing a relationship off the court where if I need anything or just want to talk to him, I can just go in and talk to him. But it's been pretty well. He said you have a similar story. He came in with a lot of hype, but he's like, he was a McDonald's All-American he came in. So he said pretty much the beginning of our careers were kind of the same. And then he finished his senior year and he feels like I can do the same. I think they won the national championship that year. He won defensive player of the year and everything. So he feels like if I have a great season, the team will have a great season, and we'll be successful this year.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost to Maryland in the title game. They made that incredible run, beat Duke in the Sweet 16, and then made it all the way to the title game.
I didn't realize how crazy he was as a player, though, like how dirty he was.
Okay, so how have you learned that? Is that other people saying it, or is he just sharing how dirty he was?
The stories he told me, and then last week he sent me an article about how he bit a player during the game.
he's very proud of that, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy.
are you going to be adopting any of? Have you learned any little tricks from Dane that you're going to add to your defensive repertoire this year?
Yeah, I've learned a little bit, not those dirty things, but I mean. He tells me if you want to, frustrate your opponent, just ask me about things he used to do, but I don't play like that.
You can always retort back. Just don't foul 3-point shooters at the very end of games. So that's not something that you want to do. As you look forward to this, to your final season, or who knows if it'll be your final season, because you're going to have the option for another one, but your senior season anyway. Like, what are some of the goals that you have individually? I mean, I know that there are team goals, but, what are some of the things that you really want to accomplish individually that maybe you haven't had a chance to do yet?
I say Big Ten player, Big Ten defensive player of the year for sure. And then I want to be on one of the all-conference teams, one of the top three, and then obviously make the NCAA tournament and then see where we go from there. I feel like if we can make the NCAA tournament, then win the Big Ten too. If you win the Big Ten, so many opportunities. I feel like you can win the whole thing. So, yeah, personal goals would be a Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year and then be on all conference teams.
Do you get a sense for what your role is going to be? You know, obviously, you know, the roster is a little bit different. You know, Xavier Johnson was brought in, and he's a guy who's obviously, you know, accomplished a lot in the ACC as a point guard. And you've got Christian Lander, who's kind of a young guy. So, you know, that's three of you guys that really, you know, are kind of point guards in name. You know, have you gotten a sense yet from the coaches where you'll be? Are you going to play more off ball? What do you think that'll look like, especially on the offensive end? I think defensively, we kind of have a pretty good idea what you're going to be doing. But what do you think you'll be offensively?
I feel like I'll be on the ball still, and then I'll be off the ball a lot too. But like I said, the way our offense is, we don't really have a particular ball handler like a point guard. There's multiple ball handlers with everything. So I feel like there'll be a lot of guys playing different positions out there.
You know, which is good, because I mean, I think as we've seen in college basketball, you've got to have multiple guys who can handle the ball to win. And it, you know, it hasn't always felt like it's been like that the last few seasons, you know, where you really had, you know, ball handlers like that that you could count on. You know, talk to me about some of the other guys, you know, like Tamar Bates and Miller Kopp and some of these, you know, other new guys that are coming in. What is maybe different about them that you think will really help you guys, you know, be able to achieve some of these goals that you just mentioned?
With Scoop, Tamar, I would say his biggest thing is confidence. He's super confident. He's outspoken. Like his first open gym, he was in there talking trash. So, I mean, from the jump, he knew he came with confidence, and he can play too. So he's a really good scorer. Plays super hard. And then Miller, obviously Miller, he's a shooter. We played him at Northwestern, and just his leadership and his intensity with everything he does, whether it's in the weight room or on the court, he works super hard. Then X, he's super dynamic with the ball. He can really score, and then he's super quick. And like I said, his leadership too off the court, he's a super goofy and funny guy, so that helps brings the team together. And then Big Mike, like he's a big body down there, and then he's a veteran too, so he knows what it takes to win. And he's really, like, he's a super cool dude off the court too, so everybody vibes with each other.
Is there anybody that you think is really going to surprise people that's just, like, really improved a ton in the offseason? You're like, whoa, that guy's going to – he's really going to produce a ton this year.
I say Jordan Geronimo.
Yeah.
Yeah, JG.
What have you seen from him? Like, what's really developed from him in the offseason?
I would say his confidence, whether it's – taking guys off the wing, knocking down threes and everything. He really has been doing it all in practice. He actually, Trace probably won't say it, but he actually just dunked on Trace in practice the other day. It was crazy. But yeah, JG's, he's been working his tail off, and really he's gotten a lot better since last year.
Yeah. What was it like being able to take that trip to the Bahamas? And how important was that, do you think, with, you know, the new coach, the new players, like all that?
It was super fun. We actually got to do a lot of things off the court. So it was really a bonding experience. And I know we went 2-0 against two pro teams. So I feel like that really boosted our confidence and just let everybody know on the team that, like, we have a chance to be really good this year. But, yeah, no, it was a really fun experience. We got to do a lot of things. So it was a great experience out there.
You know, you mentioned Trace. What's it been like to watch his development up close? Because he's a guy who, you know, like Romeo, came in with massive expectations, not to the same level of Romeo, but also has kind of had the weight of the team on his shoulders because he's been the go-to guy almost from day one. How have you seen him kind of grow and develop since he first stepped on campus?
A lot. I mean, even off the court. But this year, he's been different. Like, his mentality and everything, he's been working super hard. But I would just really say this year, his work ethic is really off the charts. It's haven't been like that the past 2 years, but just him going in the gym late at night, pretty much every day. Just him being coachable with Coach Woodson and just allowing him to, knowing that he'll develop them and help him be a player at the next level. But yeah, Trace, he's going to be a problem this year.
Yeah, I think so. And it, you know, it's great that he came back, you know, and this offseason was filled with so much turmoil, you know, when you have a coaching change, and then of course you've got the transfer rules that change, you know, so you can go anywhere. What was that decision like for you? You know, because a lot of guys, when the coach that recruited them, you know, leaves, it's an opportunity for them to get a fresh start, go somewhere else. Did you think about going somewhere else? And what was that like with, you know, with the teammates, so many guys like going in the transfer portal, coming back. Like, is that something that you guys talked about together, or was everybody kind of making their own individual decisions?
Guys talked about it, but I mean, at the end of the day, I know I wanted to be at IU. I mean, it's the place that recruited me from the jump, and I mean, I love IU, so I didn't honestly didn't think I was going to leave. But I mean, some guys thought about it, but I mean, I didn't really think I was going to leave because I knew we were going to get a great coach regardless of who we got.
Yeah. What are the things that you love most about Indiana, basketball and non-basketball? Like, if you had to make a list and someone was asking you, like, what's the top of your list of things you love about IU?
I would just say the atmosphere and just like the vibe on campus when you're just going on Kirkwood or you're in the square, whatever. But it's really a friendly environment. I feel like whether I'm pretty much anywhere in Indiana, you pretty much get love wherever you are. So I would say that just a friendly environment, just the love everyone shows.
Yeah. What are your favorite spots? Like, what are your favorite restaurants? What are your favorite hangout spots in Bloomington?
Obviously, Buffalo Louis, Pizza X. I would say Malibu Grill down in the square. And then, I mean, every once in a while, we go to Zag Grab. So,
love that place. That is a must stop every time I'm in Bloomington, for sure. For sure. So, you know, the other big change is the name, image, likeness stuff, you know, which you're guys that are here now are kind of the pioneers for this, because this is the first time we've had a chance to do this. You know, obviously you had your shirt come out. You talked about, you know, with Dave Anderson, this interview came about because, you know, we have the opportunity to reach out to you guys now and, you know, and pay you for your time. I mean, you doing this interview gives value to us. And so it makes sense that we're able to pay you for it. What has that been like? And like, where do you think that the NIL thing is going to go? It's so early right now, but what have you learned about it? And where do you think this will go for the guys who are coming up behind you?
Yeah. I mean, we're still learning things every day with everything we're doing, but, I know it's crazy. It's been a long time coming. I feel like it's obviously should have happened a long time ago, but I mean, it's great just to have an opportunity to have a little bit more money in your pocket when after the stipend checks. But it's a great opportunity for guys to pretty much express yourself, use your platform to help other businesses promote them and everything. But it's been great. I mean, I know obviously they said once the season comes with everything, there'll be more opportunities. But I'm just really looking forward to it.
Like, do you, as you look back on your recruitment, how much do you think NIL stuff would have factored in to your recruitment? You know, is that something that would have been on your list? Like, where am I going to get these opportunities? You know, are they presenting me with certain opportunities? And do you think kind of moving forward that that's going to be an important part of recruiting for young guys coming up?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say it would, because I mean, obviously your mentality would be different once you're high school and you know you can get these opportunities and everything. But I feel like for sure that's going to impact recruiting a lot. I mean, I feel like it's going to be a little bit kind of like how it is overseas a little bit, at a point where like when you're 16 or 17, you're kind of like pros at that point, but they don't want to be considered pros because, I mean, obviously NCAA the rule, but yeah, it's going to change a lot of things. I feel like the top schools are like going to be so ahead of everybody, and then bottom schools who can't really offer that many, the athletes that much money are going to be lower. So I feel like it would be kind of like how football is, like the top 10 schools are way better than other people. And then the bottom tier will be down there.
Yeah. How's the t-shirt been?
Oh, actually I had pretty good sales the first month. So
yeah,
today I actually just got my own shirt. So a lot of people had their shirt before I even got one. So
yeah, I have my order in. It hasn't arrived yet, but I'm looking forward to getting mine. The you know, the president of the Rob Finnessy Fan Club has to have one of these before the season starts. So it's been kind of a thing on our show. You know, I did this with Devontae, did it with Al. Like, to me, you know, when you've put in 3 years, you know, like you have, and you're coming into your senior season, to me, like that, you've earned all the support in the world, you know? And so I'm kind of the one who champions the senior guards and, you know, expects the best out of you guys. So you know, to me, that's part of the fun of cheering for college sports as opposed to pro sports, you know, is kind of seeing you guys develop and seeing you grow over time, you know, mentally, physically, your games, all that stuff. And, you know, it's what makes doing this rewarding. What do you think is going to be different about Rob Phinisee this year on the court? Like, what do you think are some things that, you know, as we watch you play this year, we may say, wow, he's this part of his game's better. This is a little bit different. What do you anticipate those things being?
I would say pretty much everything. I feel like you're going to see like a totally different player out there. Seeing me doing things offensively that I probably didn't do in the past, even like I said, picking up full court and actually, I feel like showing what I can actually do to the guys with the ball on the ball. Like it would be a lot different just seeing my intensity on defense. And I would say my leadership skills too. I mean, that's a big thing with Coach Woodson. Like he said, he wants player led teams. So just being a leader out there and getting guys in position, just pretty much leading the offense, leading the team.
What's Coach Woodson like? I mean, he seems like just the calmest, coolest dude in the room. Like, what is he like as a coach?
You call him like the OG. The OG, everybody just demands respect, even though he doesn't come out that way with it. But really, you could just tell everybody respects him. Whatever he does, you can tell he knows a lot. And really, you can tell he wants the best out of all his players, and he's not going to treat anybody differently, regardless who you are. So we're really just excited to have him. And I'm just really looking for that senior season to have a breakout season.
You know, one other guy that I want to get your perspective on is Kenya, who has obviously developed an incredible reputation as a recruiter for a lot of the players that he's brought in, but also just as a guy who is really good at developing relationships with players. What is Kenya like, and what has he meant to the program? You know, kind of being, as you mentioned earlier, kind of the holdover from, you know, from the previous staff.
Mm-hmm. I feel like him, obviously, he was like the only coach who came back. So he kept the guys who were like in the transfer portal here. He's the main guy who did that. But I mean, so Coach Flint was like my player coach left before he left. But I mean, once he came over, it was Coach Hunter. But yeah, him, he's a great recruiter on and off the court. He's actually a super cool dude. Like, one of the coolest coaches I've been around. So, yeah, just he's super intense too. But, I mean, off the court, you can have fun with him. You can talk to him about anything. But, I mean, I see why he's getting all these recruits, because he's just a super down-to-earth guy.
Yeah. All right, I want to play another clip because I have a few more clips here. So I want to play one from last season. Tell me if you recognize where this game is from.
And his 20th point ties this game at 85. Backing out to Phinisee. Five on the shot clock. Phinisee going to have to go. Phinisee pivots, turns. Jumper is true for Rob Phinisee, and Indiana leads by a pair. Here's Sessoms. 4 seconds, 3 seconds. Sessoms drives into the teeth of the defense. Fadeaway is not going to go from Brockington, and Indiana survives at home.
Do you remember that game?
Yeah, the Penn State game.
And really, kind of a quintessential Rob Phinisee moment, you know, because offensively you go down and hit the big shot, the go-ahead shot, and then great defense on the other end to force a miss. What do you remember about that, the end of that game?
I remember I was struggling the games before that, but I remember hitting that shot, and I feel like that boosted my confidence a little bit. But, yeah, I don't think that play was for me either. honestly, a lot of those shots I hit at the end, the plays aren't for me. I just hit the shots at the end, but. Yeah, I think it was a turnaround jumper I hit, like right at the free throw line.
You know, it's interesting, kind of going back to our conversation from before, you know, because you, in those moments, you seem so, like, kind of calm and confident. I wonder if that has anything to do with it, you know, that on some of those plays, you're just kind of scrambling and you have to make a play. There's almost no time to think about it, you know. You're just going and making a play.
Yeah, just going out there playing basketball, really.
Yeah. Huh. You know, the other thing that's really noticeable when you listen to that was a home game. There is no chance that a go-ahead shot in the final seconds would be that quiet with a packed Assembly Hall. Now, what was that like playing in empty gyms, you know, during the COVID season? That had to be strange, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was super weird. I would say probably the first five games, I wasn't used to it. But, I mean, after that, you got used to it. But, yeah, I mean, we just talked about that last week, how different the season could have been with the fans in there, how like we could have pulled away some wins just from the fans. But it was pretty weird. I mean, I'm super excited just to have him back, because we haven't really experienced it, even being at the like the football game last week, just seeing the intensity from the crowd, from the student section, everything. It's just really got us excited for the season.
What, talk me through what kind of impact that has. Like, is it, you know, when Assembly Hall is going nuts, is the impact more like positive for you guys and you guys have more energy and you're more focused? Or is it more something that impacts the other team? You know, and maybe you can speak to this about when you're in a tough road environment too, to where it kind of rattles you a little bit. Like, what is the impact of a really good home crowd?
Home crowd, I would say definitely once you're rolling, you hit shots and everything. I feel like you don't get tired. It's just like if you get in the zone. But I feel like for the opposing team, it really does rattle them. Like being on the road, like you feel like you're poised and everything, and then like you have a good shot and like the ball just doesn't go in. It's crazy. But yeah, I feel like that home crowd definitely is a big advantage.
What's the toughest venue that you've played in?
Toughest, I would say Duke my freshman year, and then Cameron Indoor, and then Mackey.
Yeah. What's your favorite opposing gym to play in? Like one where you just kind of go there and like just the shooting background is good and you just feel comfortable.
I like playing at Illinois and Illinois and actually Michigan State. I like playing those. I like playing there.
Really? What is it about Michigan State? Because that's obviously a pretty raucous atmosphere.
Yeah, I like playing Iowa too, but Michigan State is just, I don't know, the rims. I feel like the rims are a little bit softer there, where like shots go in a little bit better, but it's just a great environment. My freshman year playing there, and then obviously playing there last year without the crowd, it was pretty nice playing there too, but I don't know, it's just something about it. I like playing there.
So you mentioned Iowa. Let me play this last clip because this is from the Iowa game last year.
Good job on the glass by Franklin, denying Wieskamp. Fennessy and a rebound to the freshman Anthony Leal, who's had some nice moments, in particular against Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago. There's a good shot from Rob Fennessy, and Indiana's on top for the first time. Ooh, lazy pass. And Fennessy puts it in off the giveaway by Wieskamp.
See, it was fun going back and watching those clips. That game, obviously, you tied your career high in points with 18. And, you know, a huge win for you guys, which really, you know, kind of made it feel like the season was getting back on track. But, you know, the first clip there was you went coast to coast for a layup. Then you had this, you know, kind of, it was in transition. It was like this pull up, step back three in transition. You just looked so fluid and confident. Like, is that the kind of thing that you think we'll see more, where it's just the shot's here, I'm going to take it, the drive's here, I'm going to take it, and it's just more instinctive basketball?
Yeah, for sure. That's what Coach Woodson, his big thing is, he wants to, that's what he tells us, play defense, and then we can have fun on offense. So I feel like just the way we're playing this year, a lot fast pace, we'll be able to get a lot of shots up. And I feel like it's just going to be super fun out there.
Yeah. So why did you like playing at Iowa? Was that just part that Iowa doesn't really play much defense and those games are always just kind of like up and down and crazy?
Yeah, I mean, it's always like that at Iowa, but this is just the way they do play defense. It's different. I feel like I wouldn't say they allow you to shoot, but shots are a lot more open there, and they sometimes play zone too. And I feel like it's easy to get in the paint there and pretty much create for everybody. So
yeah,
I always like playing Iowa.
Yeah, you know, as you look back on last season, you know, again, I mean, you guys played so good that night. I mean, defensively, I mean, you really played good defense on Garza, and you kind of controlled that game from the beginning. And, you know, again, it felt like things were going to get going. And then you come back and you drop that game against Rutgers, you know, which was so disappointing. And then you end up beating Iowa again at home. And then the bottom just kind of fell out of things. Like, what do you think happened toward the end of the season that just didn't allow you guys to kind of pull back from the brink?
I would say it was kind of similar to like my freshman year, when it was like you have to have, like, all we need is one game. I feel like after that Michigan State home game, like where we were on the brink, where we were last four in or whatever, first four out, whatever. I feel like after that it kind of went downhill from there. I feel like you can sometimes get caught up in the hype of like whether you're going to be in the tournament or not, and you're too focused on looking ahead instead of focused on one game at a time. So I feel like that's what happened a little bit towards the end of the season.
Like, is that something where you can feel it as it's happening? You know, you mentioned that Michigan State loss, you know, and, mm-hmm. and obviously that was disappointing for everybody. Like, can you feel that in the locker room and then, at practice after that, where it's like, oh man, like, it just, we don't have the same confidence. There's like an enthusiasm that's not here. Or is that something that you look back on in hindsight and pick it up?
I would say a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I feel like you feel that pressure, like, obviously, because there's so much social media, and especially during that time of the year, you're seeing all the NCAA predictions and everything. So you see you're right on, like, the brink of making the tournament or not. And, like, you're too focused. Like, our focus, I feel like, should have been more on just winning the next game instead of, like, focus on if we're going to make the tournament or not.
Yeah. Do you, how do you approach things now coming into your senior season, having not yet played an NCAA tournament game? Because I can't imagine that you thought that was going to be the case when you came to Indiana. And it's very possible that if COVID had happened, that you would have played an NCAA tournament game, your sophomore year. How do you look at that now? Like, is that just this gaping hole in your experience that, you're going to feel a massive regret for if you don't, and you kind of feel some of that pressure? Or do you try not to think about it too much?
I feel like, just from knowing what I know, I feel like what I have to do this senior year is just focus at one game at a time. I mean, if you focus on that, focus on the moment you're in, that, I mean, whatever you want at the end, you'll accomplish your goals. So I feel like if you win each day, do whatever you have to do, each game you do, like, the goals you have at the end of the season will take care of themselves.
Yeah. And, look, I mean, obviously, one of the biggest things that's kept you guys from winning more games and playing in the NCAA tournament is just shooting the ball better. Basketball can sometimes be a very simple game where it's, if you make shots, you're going to win. If you don't, you're not. And you've been on teams that have really struggled to make shots. Do you think that is more that there just haven't been good shooters, that you struggled with confidence, that there was something about the system that just didn't kind of build confidence? And what do you think can lead to that shooting being better this year? Because ultimately, that's probably the single most important thing that'll determine, whether you guys have a better season or not, is just being able to make shots.
Yeah. No, I think we'll definitely make shots this year. Really, I feel like it's a collective group thing. I feel like even in the past, like, you see one guy miss a shot, and then, like, you're focused on, all right, I have to make this shot because we've missed our last 7 or 8 threes. You see that. But then again, you see the same thing about free throws, where it's like a guy misses 2, and then you're up to a line, and then you think too much about it. That's the thing. But this year, I feel like I said, it's free-flowing. Like, as long as you're playing defense, he honestly doesn't really get mad about the shots you take, as long as it's a good open shot and it's within the offense. So I feel like the confidence at an all-time high with everybody, and everybody just feels like they can play their game and just go out there and be free.
Yeah. Well, man, you've been really generous with your time, and I appreciate it. Let me just get a couple more questions before I let you go. As you look back on the time that you've spent in Bloomington so far, I mean, we went through, I think, some of the more memorable basketball memories. But are there any memories that we didn't kind of relive today that were really important to you, or like a big moment or something that you did on the court that you look back on and you're like, that was a signature Rob Finnessy, moment on the court?
On the court, I would say I felt like versus Louisville, I hit another big shot.
That's right.
Like a minute left. I would say that was one.
There's too many big shots to fit. That's the thing. That's how you get the nickname Big Shot Rob.
Yeah, I mean, not off the top of my head. I can't really think of anything. But.
What are some of the best memories off the court? I mean, you mentioned some of the places that, that you like to go, but what are, it's so easy, I think, with, with players like you. I mean, we see you play, and our entire context for you is as a basketball player. But you obviously spend a lot of time not as a basketball player. Like, what are some of the memories that you've had or things that you've done just as a student, that have been the most special to you?
I would say, honestly, my freshman year, just experiencing the dorm life and just meeting new people. So, I mean, coming from Lafayette, you don't know really what to expect at IU. But, I mean, I had a great time my freshman year, meeting in the dorms with, the five I came in with, I'm the only one left. Jerome, Demezi, Jake, and Romeo. So
that's right.
I mean, we had a really great time my freshman year. I met a lot of new people. Had a lot of new experiences and everything. So that was a great time. And obviously just being able to hang out with my teammates, growing relationships that will, I mean, last forever. I mean, I know you always hear that, but they're really like your true brothers. You go through a lot of things together. So just enjoying the time with my teammates and just experience IU life and just meeting new people every day.
You still stay in touch with all those guys, you know, Jerome, Demezi, all those, even though they've, you know, left and kind of gone on to different things, whether it's Romeo going pro or transferring to different places. You guys all still stay in touch?
Yeah, we do. I mean, that was a big thing with us coming in. We were super close. And I know we always used to try to like fight the older guys in the locker room, R5 versus whoever, whoever really wanted it. So, all five of us were super close.
Now, where did you guys live freshman year? Did you live in dorms or were you in Evolve
as freshman? No, we're actually, we were like the last freshman class that had to live in a dorm. So it was a fun experience. I feel like freshmen should live in the dorms just to experience and meet new people. Like they're not always with the same people every day. So
yeah, I imagine it's got to be pretty easy to just be kind of insular with just the basketball team or maybe just athletes, and living in the dorms would help you, like you said, you know, kind of get out and branch out a little bit.
Yeah, it was a super fun time. Met a lot of people.
What dorm did you guys live in?
We lived in Briscoe.
In Briscoe? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think now of Evolve? I mean, I think, like you said, you don't quite get the same experience meeting people, but you also get a few more amenities than what you guys had at Briscoe. What's that like for guys as they come in?
I mean, it's super nice, luxury, like a luxury apartment. So you have there's a basketball court down there, super nice weight room. There's like a little turf. And then there's a grill over there. Parker actually cooks over there a lot. He's a master on the grill.
Nice.
It's super cool experience just to pull in everything. So, I mean, being a freshman, obviously you want to experience new things and see a lot of new people. So it's a pretty fun experience out there.
It's interesting. When you were a freshman, if they had given you the opportunity to live at Evolve over Briscoe, you probably would have taken it. But sure, it sounds like in hindsight, you're glad you did it the other way.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I tell them all the time. Like if you want to, cause you're with a lot of upperclassmen at Evolve and everything. So they're like, a lot of people aren't your age, but that freshman experience is pretty fun. It's a lot of fun.
It's interesting. The wisdom that you get, you know, when you've been there for a few years that, you know, the freshmen come in, like, what do you think about that now? You know, cause you were a freshman not too long ago, but now you've got all this experience, you've got all this wisdom. And now, you know, you see these new freshmen coming in and they're probably a lot like you were when you came in. Yeah. What kind of advice do you try to give those guys?
Honestly, I try to tell them things that like the things I wish I would have knew when I was a freshman. And just different things where like sometimes you can tell if someone's, I would say they're lying about something, because it's something you do as a freshman and like you know the truth. You know the truth about what they're talking about. But yeah, like the older you get, the more wise you get. You don't really understand it until time passes.
Is there anything else that you wish that you had known when you were a freshman?
Wish that I had known. I would just say my big thing is the grind college basketball is. And like you just have to keep a level head regardless of what's going on with everything. And just the grind. Just know it's going to be a grind all year round, whatever you're doing. So we just focus on what is important, and don't take your mind off of it.
What do you think is the thing that fans don't understand the most about what that grind is like and what being a college basketball player at a school like Indiana is like?
I would say there's a little bit of stress about it, but it's really, I would say, the mentality you have to have to play here. Whether it's, like I said, the good or the bad, you have to play hard, whatever you're doing. I mean, you're going to get judged, whatever you do on and off the court. But yeah, I would just say still just a grind about it, where we're working probably what, 10 or 11 months out of the year.
Yeah.
What we're doing just to play, just to train for what, I mean, play for 5 months. So
what is, what are you planning for after basketball? I mean, I know that you obviously hope to have a professional basketball career, and that's goal number one. But what are your interests off the court, and what are some of the things that you're thinking about doing once you're not playing basketball anymore?
I still want to stay with basketball. Obviously, like you said, I want to play as long as I can. But after, I'd like to get like a coaching job within the NBA, whether it's like a scout or just like in the front office. I want to end up working my way up, and then eventually I want to try to be like a general manager by the time it's all said and done.
Really? So you want to go more of a front office route than a coaching route?
I mean, that's the goal right now, but I don't think I want to be a college coach. There's a lot that goes into it, but I'd rather stay in the NBA and see what happens there.
I can see with your experience at IU, I can see why being a college basketball coach probably doesn't seem too attractive. It's a hard life, man. It is. The money's good, but it's definitely a hard life. Are you, obviously, like, you know, someone like Jared Jeffries has been able to do that. You know, he was got into scouting, you know, worked in different front offices. Is that a resource that you're able to kind of tap into and talk to and learn about some of those things from?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he came to practice a couple times last year, but I mean, just having that IU connection, whether it's Frank with the Clippers, I mean, there's a lot of guys, former managers and players who are within the NBA, even Coach Woodson, I mean, he'd have connections too. So I feel like just having that IU connection is really a big thing, because the alumni, there's so many of them. So I feel like that could help me in my future.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, last question for you. What do you think it's going to be like, you know, October 2nd? Obviously, you know, Hoosier Hysteria is coming. It'll be your first time to kind of come out, and fans will be there. They'll be masked, but there will be fans there. What's that going to be like, being able to go back out at Assembly Hall, how it should be, packed with fans and excited to watch you guys play some basketball?
No, we're super excited about it. I mean, I just figured I'm going to be in the skills competition, but super excited about it, really, just to see Hoosier Nation out there. And we want our new guys to experience it, and even our freshmen, because they didn't get to experience it last year. So everyone's excited, and I'm ready to just get out there and show the fans something.
So you'll be in the skills competition?
I will.
Nice. Okay. Who do you know who you're competing against?
I think Xavier, Race, and Logan.
Okay. All right. It would have been fun to see you in the dunk contest. What were you going to say?
I said it'll be fun to see what Logan does in that, but
yeah.
But yeah, I'm actually a lot more athletic than a lot of people think too, though. So hopefully,
man, there's no doubt about it. And I actually, I kind of regret now not getting some of those clips. I distinctly remember a play against Northwestern where you drove down the lane, and I swear it looked like you just turned on like rocket boosters. I was like, I didn't know he could do that. I think you missed the dunk. But still, like, just seeing those ups, maybe that's something we can see here your fourth year. Let's
you'll see that this year a little bit.
All right, let's see you show off the athleticism a little bit. That's good. Well, hey, I want to get you out of here with this. So I assume that you've never listened all the way through to one of our episodes, and that's probably good. I would not advise that you do it. But at the end of every episode, we have our little line that we end with: keep your elbows in, your eyes on the rim, and go Hoosiers. Would you be willing to do that for me so that we can play it at the end of games?
You said keep your elbows in, eye on the rim, go Hoosiers.
Yeah. Yeah. So what guys usually say is, you know, like, hey, take it from me, Rob Finnessy. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim and go Hoosiers.
All right, I got you. So whenever?
Yeah, just whenever.
All right. Take it from me, Rob Finnessy. Keep your eyes on the rim and your elbows in. Go Hoosiers.
All right, we usually do it in the reverse, but that's okay. We keep it that way for this one. That's all right. It's all good. Hey, man, I really appreciate the time. It was really fun getting to chat and get to know you a little bit better. I'm glad that we have these opportunities. You know, I've thought for a long time that, you know, it'll help the fan relationships with players if we actually get a chance to get to know you guys more and get to talk to you more, you know? And so I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. And I hope everybody who's listening, enjoyed it and feels like they kind of know you a little bit better and have the stage set for a big senior year for you.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Good luck this season. We'll be cheering for you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
I like everything about that.
Every day, thousands of hackers try to steal your crypto. But Arculus uses air-gapped technology by forming a protective barrier that insulates you from hackers and secures your crypto. Order yours at getarculus.com.